The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Your order of service today says Psalm 91, and that was the plan, but I'm going to deviate from it just a wee bit, and I want, actually quite a lot, and I want you to turn to Psalm 90, immediately next door to Psalm 91, a psalm attributed to Moses. We've been talking about Moses a lot, and we've been talking about the wilderness and the tabernacle and what these people must have felt and seen and saw and smelled and heard and did and said. And I've asked Ruth to come to the keyboard and to just do a little of something that she does so wonderfully well, a little prophetic playing. As I ask you, now that you have found Psalm 90, I ask you just to close your eyes and think on some things that I'm going to give you. And Ruth, as I'm doing this, we've not prepared this ahead of time, so this is God's Holy Spirit at work. Ruth, I'm going to ask you to play, and you describe with your fingers as best you can what I'm trying as best I can to describe here. As the folks are listening and imagining, and use your holy imagination. Carl prayed just a moment ago that God's Holy Spirit would blow over us. God's Spirit is a creative spirit. And so open up the doors of your holy imagination now as I ask you to imagine that you are one of the children of Israel encamped in the wilderness. And all about you are the tents of the others in your tribe. And there is a bit of a breeze blowing across the wilderness. And you hear the rustling of the tent flaps next to yours. And you hear other families as they're getting ready to go to bed. The priests have finished their evening sacrifices. And the ashes and the coals are still hot. And maybe every now and then you can catch just a waft of fragrance, maybe of the incense from the Holy of Holies or one of the sacrifices from earlier in the day. Maybe you are outside your tent and there is no television, there is no smartphone, there is no radio, there aren't even any books or magazines. There's no artificial light, but above you, as you cast your glance upward, you see all of the starry host of heaven. Miraculous, wondrous, mysterious, the Milky Way. Why, there aren't any city lights, are there? There's nothing to keep you from seeing this miraculous sight. What do you think about? Do you remember how God brought you through the Red Sea and wonder at that miracle? The rolling of the waters around you as you and your family stepped timidly at first and then with great confidence through the waters, and you marveled at how Yahweh God had brought you out of Egypt. Do you think back to the time that Moses went up the mountain and you were afraid and you saw from a distance that something was going on up at the top of that mountain and the dark clouds rolled in and you could hear the thunder, maybe like last night? But after a while, Moses is so long in returning, and you remember that you and your friends and your family decided that you needed something that you could see and touch in order to hang your hope on. And so you and your family and others around you did something very wicked. You took off your bracelets and earrings and your finery, and you made Aaron cast them into a golden calf. And you said, these are the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. Do you remember that Moses came back and made you drink that bitter drink of the ground up golden calf? And do you remember the mourning and the wailing that went up when you found out that God said, I'm not going to go with you any farther? And do you remember then that Moses went to God and said, please, please don't forget this people. They're your people. And you remember that God relents and says, yes, my presence will go before you. Oh, that happened even days or weeks ago, but it's still fresh in your memory that God has decided that he will go before you. What do you think about this night on the windswept desert as you look up at the stars or lie on your mat? Do you think about the future? That someday you will be in the land that God promised? Do you worry that you might not make it if you displease God? Do you think even farther into the future about what life will be like after this life? What do you think about? What do you see? What kind of big questions cross your mind after all you've been through? And as you stare into the unknown that is just in front of you, what do you think about? God, we ask you to give us eyes and ears now to put ourselves in the place of those of your children of Israel as we take a look at your word now. Surely you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want to ask you, thank you, Ruth, that was gorgeous. I want to ask you, what did you think about? What did you see? What did you hear? What things were on your mind as you were in your tent in the windswept desert? Tell me, talk to me. Okay, Lori says, I'm thinking about how important story is. I'm hoping that I would be a mom in the tent who would tell the story to her kids. Good. What else? What's on your mind? Don says he's thinking about how God has been with him thus far and everything that God has done for him and why he shouldn't fear. What else are you thinking about? Anybody thinking about how big God is and how small I am? There's nothing like standing under the Milky Way without any artificial light to make you really understand where you fit in the universe. Is anybody thinking about the eternal nature of God and the finite nature of humankind? Richard, you had your hand up. So Richard is saying that he's thinking about how he wants to be in the presence of God. And in Richard's holy imagination, his tent was near the tabernacle, so that sort of gave some hope, something to hang your hat on. There's something to hang your hope on there. Psalm 90 has all of that in it, and maybe even a little extra too. And the reason I'm focusing it on it today, although Psalm 91 is in our lection, and I encourage you to read it, because it is said to have been written by Levitical priests or temple workers as they're going about their priestly functions. It'd be a great psalm for you to meditate on this afternoon. But I'm focusing on 90 because it is said to be attributed to Moses himself. And as I read the psalm, I want you to see if any little bits shimmer where there are some places that sound like they could have been some things that were thought of or came across one's mind or emerge from the desert experience, okay? Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return, O dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. Let me stop right there. What comes to mind there? What do you see? What about your desert experience that you just imagined might resonate with that? You told me a minute ago that you were thinking about how the children of Israel must have remembered what God had done for them thus far, so their minds are already being cast back. But Richard also adds this wonderful element, several of you spoke to it, about being in the presence of God. Remember that it was God's intention from the beginning to dwell with his creation. And now in the middle of nowhere, under a starry sky, encamped around a tabernacle where God's presence rests, the children of Israel are kind of having a second Garden of Eden experience. Except there are obstacles, there are rules. God has something in mind about how he will be approached. But the psalm starts out with this hearkening back to Eden. You have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I see Genesis all over that. Verse 3, you turn men back to dust. Does that remind you of something in the garden? I can imagine that Moses and the Israelites are surrounded by a lot of dust and remembering that they are, as we say on Ash Wednesday, they are but dust as well. And then I can imagine along with you that eyes were cast up into the skies to see the starry host. And he says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. Verse 5, you sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, and by evening it is dry and withered. There they are in the middle of a dry and thirsty land, and if you've ever been there, oh my goodness, you can't imagine how dry and how thirsty. Here's another question for you. What do you count when you are in the desert? What kinds of things do you count? Do you count how many vessels of water you have in your tent? Do you count how many bracelets and bangles and earbobs you have left over from your Egypt experience? The longer in the desert you are, does that change the nature of what you count and what you number? He continues, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. For their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Moses is suggesting that there's something about the desert experience, and there's something about being near the presence of God and either pleasing or displeasing God that changes what you count. Because he says here, we really ought to count our days. It happens in verse 11 and 12. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I can imagine at the beginning of the desert experience, they had a lot of stuff. And they had a lot of things to pack. I can imagine that they did count all of those bracelets and bangles and earbobs and stuff. That remember, they took a lot of plunder out of Egypt. Do you recall this? God used it later. I can also imagine, though, that if you're in the desert experience and you are in one place until when? Until God says to move on. You got to pack everything up and move again. If you've ever moved houses, you know that you probably have too much stuff. And there's a strong impetus to get rid of things, especially the more we move and the older we get. And I can imagine that desert somewhere is littered with bracelets and bangles and baubles and stuff. Because Moses says, at least I think he's indicating here, or at least he's hopeful, that we're numbering things differently now. We need to number our days. What else is on Moses' mind? Also on Moses' mind, I think, is the wrath of God. Contrast God's faithfulness and everlasting love and loving kindness with the people's sin and the people's unfaithfulness. Contrast God's desire to be present with his people and the people messing it up by sinning so spectacularly. Verse 13, relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. That reminds me of the manna that God provided for them in the desert. He satisfies them in the morning. Everything we have, O God, is from you. We're in the middle of the desert. Why, we wouldn't even have water unless you provided it. Make us glad, verse 15. For as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. In other words, let the gladness equal the bad stuff. I know that we have sinned. It's before us. We even had to drink our own sin. But now would you provide goodness for as much of the badness as we have been afflicted with? May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This week, several of us have had our hands covered in styrofoam dust and sparkly paint because we've been working on the tabernacle furnishings. And when you go and you read about all these things in the scripture, you discover how spectacularly beautiful they must have been. But you know what? We had a table saw over at Norm's house, and they didn't have any of that stuff in the desert. How magnificent God provided, how beautifully they responded. And I can imagine that this tabernacle was amazing to look at. And here is Moses saying, now may the favor of the Lord God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. We are a nomadic people. We have to pick up and move every few days. But someday there's going to be a place of promise. Would you establish that? Now, I would like for you to go back and scan the whole of Psalm 90, and I have some places for you to look for. And I think, I hope, that this will tie in really nicely with our tabernacle study that we're doing this week. Pastor Rick will tell you more about that in a little while. We have two groups tonight, one on Monday, one on Wednesday. And I want you to see, I've already given you some of it, I want you to see if and where you can find echoes of the garden. Where do you see garden themes? That is to say, of the first garden, we're talking Adam and Eve. Where do you see echoes of the garden and the way things used to be? Again, I've given you a little bit of help on that already. Talk to me. Where do you see echoes of Eden? Before the mountains were dropped forth, that harkens back to creation, doesn't it? Good. Somebody else? Lord, you are our dwelling place. God himself is the dwelling place. What in the world does that have to do with the garden? Well, have you ever heard the Garden of Eden referred to as a temple not made by human hands? And in the garden, God dwelled very presently and closely with his creation. There's a wonderful verse in Genesis 2 and verse 15 that says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Those Hebrew words appear only twice in Scripture. They appear right here in the garden, which is a kind of temple not made by human hands, where God dwells with his people. And they also appear, this will give you goosebumps, they also appear when God establishes the priestly order in the temple and gives the priests their marching orders. He says that they are to guard and tend the temple. Same exact words, the only other place in Scripture they occur. God's intention from the beginning was that his creation would be a priestly order to serve in a temple not made by human hands. And it didn't work out that way. But ever so slowly, wondrously, miraculously, God is building a picture of a return to Eden, and the tabernacle and the temple are an important part of that. Do you see any other echoes of Eden in there? God would visit with them in the cool of the evening, I think Scripture says. In the cool of the evening, I think. The point, though, is that God is talking with his creation as a man talks with a friend face to face. We see glimpses of that. Let me ask you to switch gears now, and would you look for places in this psalm that seem to be echoes of a new heavens and a new earth? The theological term for that is prolepsis. Look forward now into the far, far future. And do you see any echoes of a new kind of temple, a new kind of living? Does Moses foreshadow the eschaton here? Do you see it? Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's a look forward. Do you see another one? Moses' mind certainly is consumed with the notion of counting our days and realizing that we are only dust. But he also contrasts that with the unfailing love of God. Relent, O God. Have compassion on your servants. Make us glad. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children, favor. And all of this is happening in the context of tabernacle and desert living. I want you to look with me at Revelation 21. There is a new kind of temple not made by human hands. And the deep longing of Moses and the children of Israel to return to a place where they enjoyed the presence and favor of God, where the work of their hands was established, is described all the way over here in Revelation 21. A new heavens, a new earth. Verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," now, look at this, "now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people," and say this with me, "and God himself will be with them and be their God." From everlasting to everlasting, O God, you have been our dwelling place. Moses' psalm, Psalm 91, I think is though a terrible contrast between man's sin and our position before God, is yet also a hopeful reminder that our groaning inside is to be in the presence of God, and that someday there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. In Revelation 11, we hear that there is a temple in heaven. When there is the new heavens and the new earth, there will be, not be a temple, but there's something about a temple that we see there in Revelation 11. And in the Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of the Covenant. All of these things come back around when somehow in the end, God establishes a new heavens and a new earth where we will be with him again and in his presence. Psalm 90 is an undiluted, no holds barred picture of man before God. There's no defiance, there's no argument. It's just a plea and a reminder for the loving kindness of God. I want you to carry those memories of the desert with you into this week as we get ready for session number 2, and as we think about echoes of Eden and visions of the new heavens and the new earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, and that you are our dwelling place. Lord, as we walk out our baptisms in this world, and especially when we seem to be in a desert, I pray that you will help us to think on you and remember how you have led us thus far. Rest in your presence and cast an eye toward the future when, thanks be to God, you will come again and establish a return to Eden where we will dwell in your presence forever and ever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.